So you were working for Quick Trip and then singing on the side, I suppose.
Yeah, I was working at Quick Trip for a full-time job. And then when I was interviewed by Ron Blue and I took the job at KFMJ, that's when I...
Said goodbye
and got in the radio business.
Well, you and I share something in common because we were both hired by Ron Blue.
That's right.
Because Ron Blue...
We were. That's exactly right.
Ron Blue hired me at KRMG. More on KRMG later. But here he took somebody who'd never been on the radio before as a disc jockey.
Right.
And there had to be something about your personality that he noticed then. You have to give him a lot of credit for taking an inexperienced young man, and he took a chance.
Yes, he did. And evidently, I just beat everybody else there, because I threw dust up in the little road that went down to the KFMJ studios getting there, because I was wanting the job, because I wanted to be in the business. You're bringing things out of me that I forget, but yeah.
So when he hired you full-time, what shift were you on?
Any shift they wanted me on, okay? When I went in full-time, actually, Willie the Hillbilly was there at the time, and I believe he was doing drive time, and I believe I did 1 to 3 country music-wise.
What kind of songs were you playing about?
I was playing Cowboy Copas, and I was playing Hank Williams, and I was playing Ernest Tubb, and I was playing George Morgan. I could go on and on and on. The older country acts, they were not that old then, but I was playing the kind of music that I loved, you know.
Did Ron know that you were also a musician and a singer?
No, I don't think at the time that we discussed that. But I think at a later date that I talked with him about working some gigs. And I sold one thing that really helped me at the radio station. I sold the Broken Era Hour at $10 a spot. And I filled up the hour. Ron liked that. And also, at the same time, if I worked the dates, I could plug the dates. That was kind of our understanding. And I'd do remotes and this type of thing for him, you know. And I get paid to do the remotes. Like I remember Ernest Tubb saying one time, I pay the band weekly, very weekly. Well, we got paid very weekly, but it was fun, and the experience was worth more than money.
KFMJ, did that become another station? Did the call letters change on that?
They did in later years, and to be truthful with you, I don't know. I know I went through the folks out of Oklahoma City, and then I went with Oral Roberts. They bought KFMJ. Willard Mason and Bill Nash ran KFMJ under the auspices of the Oral Roberts organization. So I worked for them at KFMJ, and then later George Kravis bought KFMJ, and I worked for them. So actually I worked for KFMJ till 1968.
But then you were making performances.
During all that time, I was making performances either at remotes or in clubs. And like I mentioned, the Springdale Tavern and many various places. Oshaleta, the Moon Glow Hut. Anywhere they'd have me, we'd work. Yeah.
Well, you were becoming quite a personality then. The fact that you were on the radio, then you could go out and pick and grin and sing and all that.
The combination is really the whole picture of what drove me through the life of the music business. If it hadn't been for radio, the other wouldn't have happened, the music. And if it hadn't been for me recording at Oral Roberts Studio down on South Boulder, the Ernest Tubb thing wouldn't have happened, because I recorded a song called Thanks a Lot.
When did that happen, Thanks a Lot? Was that in 59?
Yep, that was in 1959. I recorded Thanks a Lot in the basement of the Oral Roberts building.
So that was in the same year you went to work for KFMJ.
Right, right.
So things were popping here for you.
Yes. I had good friends in the business, David Ingalls.
Who still is today on the radio, and he has...
The Oasis Radio Network.
Network, right.
But I taught him radio.
Oh, really?
Yes.
At KFMJ?
Yes.
And he today is a singer, and then he owns many, many radio stations now, Christian radio stations.
I taught him, and he'll tell anyone, the way I taught him, he sat down at the board to run the tapes and play the music. I'm not really proud of this, but I walked off and let him have it. Let him learn on his own, you might say, and he did. He still teases me because of that. He said, you walked off and left me. I said, yeah, but you own the radio stations and I'm still working.
Right. Tell me about the song, Thanks a Lot. How did that come about?
Marvin McCullough was on KRMG. Marvin was recording for Capitol Records. They sent him the song, Thanks a Lot. And he just didn't particularly like it. So he gave me a copy of the dub, we call it, the tape, and said, here's a song for you. Not thinking that it would be a heck of a song, but Eddie Miller wrote the song, Eddie Miller and Don Sessions, out in California. Eddie Miller was from Oklahoma originally, but I didn't know him at the time. So I took the song, and of course, at the time, I'd have probably took any song. I was wanting to record, and we had the opportunity to record, so I recorded the song called Thanks a Lot. It came out on Cimarron Records, which was owned by Leon McCullough. What happened then, and I'm really reaching back in my mind, the song was doing good as a single record and went into the country field, and KAKC here started playing it, and then it got into the pop field here and other places and was coming up on the charts. In our business, when someone records a song that you recorded, they call it a cover record, cover song. And Ernest Tubb covered me on Thanks a Lot in the country field, which was a big hit for Ernest Tubb. And then about 3 months later, I'm just guessing, Brenda Lee recorded the same song in the pop field, and needless to say, they threw me in the ditch. I mean, my song was over then after Ernest recorded it and Brenda recorded it. The pop in the country was over. Although I did get a lot of play and worked some dates on that, and later on went to work for Ernest Tubb, because that's down the road a little
bit. So Thanks a Lot was a pop song as you recorded it.
Yeah, it was a pop song, and I'll never forget, John, and you'll appreciate this. Marvin was different. I always knew Marvin, always liked Marvin. Marvin was very talented. Of course, he gave me the song to record because he didn't want to record it. When it came out on KRMG, he played it for the first time, a 45 RPM record, and he played it all the way through 78 RPM.
Why did he do that?
He was just that type of person. I never could figure out why he did that. And I don't remember whether he ever played it again or not, but he played it 78 speed on KRMG.
Because it was a big hit here.
And I was still
Tulsa.
At KFMJ. Yeah, it was doing good here, of course. KAKC was playing the far out of it. Tom York and everybody at KAKC was really strapping it on it. Scooter C. Graves.
Yeah.
And it was really going good. But, yep, he hit it 78 speed on 45 RPM record. And I was listening.
Wow. What did you think?
You know, I thought, well, that's just Marvin. I thought he might play it every day from then on, but he didn't. But I don't know. I never could figure it out.
KRMG was playing country music as well, and maybe big band at the same time or not?
Well, they were playing some country on Marvin's show.
Okay. And
but that's about it.
Was that daily, Marvin McCullough?
Uh-huh. His show was daily.
In the afternoon?
He did a morning show and an afternoon show.
Oh.
The best I remember. And then when I left to go with Ernest, he came over to KFMJ.
Was there any talk about you working for KRMG? I mean, there could have been a spot for you there.
No, there never was. Yeah. No, I was never approached from the KRMG standpoint by Ron. He had hired me at KFMJ, right. But I was never...
And then he moved over to KRMG. But I suppose with Marvin there, who was a big personality, wasn't
yes.
he, on KRMG?
Yes, ratings good, very good. Had the band and doing the same thing. And I had the band with Rocky Capel and the Shotguns, and we were working out of the KFM. And maybe that's the reason he didn't play.
So there was competition both in singing and in radio.
That's right.
So he didn't like that, apparently.
I guess not. But I don't forget it. And in later years, before he passed on, we had the opportunity. He would call me from Fort Smith, Arkansas, and visit with me on the air. But he couldn't talk. He had had a stroke. But his wife at the time would call me and say, Marvin's here and wants to say hello to you. And that's all he could say. And I would talk to him. And then when they moved to Amarillo before he passed on, I visited with them as they were on the way to Amarillo. I never had any grudge, never held a grudge. He was a very good talent, and I loved him as an entertainer and as a person.
Did the two of you ever talk about that incident of him playing the record?
You know what? I don't. I'm sure someone may have talked about it to him, but I was never one to complain. Yeah. After that, I don't believe I ever said anything else about that I remember.